Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. We'll read verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, and this is Easter day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and I put my fingers in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the door was shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through him and through believing, you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So before we get too deep into the scripture, there's times when we read from the Gospel of John that we have to address some things that it says. So we'll check your reading comprehension, your listening comprehension again. At the very beginning of this scripture, the doors are locked. Why are the doors locked? For fear of the Jews. John, historically, from the time it was written up until even today, has been used as a book to justify discrimination and hatred against the Jews. For passages like this, the disciples were afraid of the Jews. This is a misapplication of the scriptures. These disciples are afraid of a particular set of Jews that lived 2,000 years ago. Anybody that uses these scriptures to hate or fear Jewish folks today is simply wrong. So we'll get that out of the way. That's important to say out loud because it still happens today. The other thing that I like to do with this passage, because it comes up every so often in the lectionary, is give Thomas a break. John describes Thomas as the twin. What do we know Thomas as? Doubting Thomas. Oh, if there's one person in the Bible that everybody can get behind, it's Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Even Jesus says, "Do not doubt, but believe." And so poor Thomas has gotten this bad rap as being this doubting, unbelieving disciple. Which is simply not true. You know, Thomas has a lot to do in this book of John. He's not in any of the other Gospels more than just mentioning by name that Thomas is a disciple. But in the Gospel of John, Thomas does a lot. At the Last Supper, when Jesus is going on about where he's going, and that beautiful scripture, "I'm going to my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare rooms for you, and you'll follow me later." Do you remember that passage? We read it at funerals a lot. It's Thomas that says, "We don't know where you're going. How can we follow you?" That's Thomas. One of those important scriptures, Thomas speaks up. We heard Thomas speak a few weeks ago when Jesus is thinking about going back and forth to Mary's house to raise Lazarus from the dead. And the disciples say, you can't go back there. They were just trying to stone you and kill you. Jesus says, well, I got to go. It's Thomas that says, well, let's go with him so that we might die with him. That's Thomas. Thomas, later in the 21st chapter of this book, is one of the disciples that goes out fishing with Peter, that eats a meal of fish and bread that Jesus has prepared on the beach. Thomas is more than just this doubting person. He's this important disciple and character in this gospel. But more than that, he's not really doing anything that none of the other disciples didn't already do. He's not asking for anything special. He says, I just want to see the wounds in his hand. I want to touch the wound in his side. That's it. Then I'll believe. What did the disciples get to do when Jesus walks in the door the first time? They got to see his hands, the wounds that were there, and the wound on his side. They've already seen these things. Thomas simply wants to be included and to feel and see what these other disciples have felt. I always like to picture when Jesus comes and Thomas isn't there, he like drew the short straw and had to go to Kroger to get more ice or something. And he just happened to be out. And then he gets back and they're like giving him a hard time. We saw the Lord. You missed it. We saw the Lord. He's like, all right, sure. I'll believe it when I see it and when I get to touch him. So that, I think, we can transition to this question I asked the kids. Is seeing believing? Is seeing believing? So often we want to see in order to believe. And there's good reason for that. Somebody can tell you they're sorry. They've changed their ways. Do you believe them? You want to. But until you see them change, it's harder. I want to see your actions change. I'm trying to decide if I want to tell this story from the parents' point of view or when I was a kid. It doesn't matter. When a kid says, I'll clean my room, don't worry about it. Your parents say, I'll believe it when I see it. Did you ever test your parents on that the other way? Dad would say, whatever's not picked up off the floor, I'm going to throw away. This happened. So guess what I did? I picked up all the toys that I wanted and put them on my bed and left all the other things for Dad to clean up. Hey, Dad was going to clean up my room. Everything that was on the floor, he said he was going to throw away. He ended up taking the bed out and leaving everything just piled up on the floor. So I learned my lesson there. Seeing is believing. It's easy to say these things. I want to see it in order to believe it. We've heard that this war is over. We've heard that the economy is great. Do we see that in our lives? We want to see it, to believe it. It's easy to say things. Seeing is believing. But what do we do in this new age of AI? Artificial intelligence, virtual realities where computers and people can generate images of whatever they want for us to see. Is seeing still believing? Do we believe that that chicken I saw attack that guy in the video was real? That that raccoon really rung the doorbell camera that Zoe was talking about? Some things it's easy. Raccoons don't ring doorbells. Chickens attack people sometimes. We see videos of celebrities doing things that follows our belief of who those celebrities are. Saying things that we think they might actually say. But did they really? What do we do in this age? We gave the kids some possible solutions. It's important to come together as real people in real life, to talk with one another, to sit face to face, to touch one another, to hug and shake hands and speak real words from real lips to real ears, to be in each other's presence, to question one another. Zoe mentioned her mom. She's not here to defend herself, I guess. But we've all fallen victims to those videos. Call each other out. That's not a real chicken there to attack the real guy. Knucklehead, this is AI. No, that celebrity didn't really say those things. When people say things are fake when they're really real, call them out as well. We really sent people around the moon this past week. We really landed on the moon 50, 60 years ago. That really happened. Don't let people lie to you and say we didn't. Call one another out. Keep each other accountable in real life and come together to give us the opportunity to do so. We want to believe and see. We want to see to believe. We want to believe our eyes. It becomes more and more difficult. But I think the other passage, past the doubting Thomas and past the believing and seeing, is this picture of Jesus coming through locked doors. I think AI and all of those things is another way for us to lock the doors. But Jesus walks through that closed, that locked door. Whatever reason we've locked it and shut out the outside world for, Jesus comes through those doors. Through the realities of virtual realities and the AIs, Jesus walks through those doors bringing the truth with him. And he sends us out. Just as my Father sent me out, so I send you. That's the bottom line. Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit into ourselves and into our lives and sends us out, coming through those locked doors that we try to keep the rest of the world out. And so whether we let Jesus in or not, he comes. He comes through those closed spaces and enters our lives and sends us out. No matter what our doubt is, whether we think we can believe or not, this passage ends with the blessing from Jesus to all of us. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. All throughout John, seeing is believing. The light came into the darkness. The people that lived in the light saw and believed. And yet all of us afterwards believe because of their words, having not seen Christ in the flesh, but being sent out anyways. Seeing can be believing, but it becomes more and more difficult to believe what we have seen. But we hold on to the Holy Spirit, allowing it to show us the way, shining that light into our minds and our lives. So let us go out sharing this gospel and this good news from Jesus. Amen.